now call order the September 13, 2016 special magistrate proceedings for the city of Daytona Beach. At the outset, I reviewed, approved, and executed the minutes of the August 9, 2016 meeting. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's cases?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bukelja. We do have one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. It is number 7, case number SMG-051629. Bobby Caldwell for 1311 Hillcrest Drive, Main House, Unit 4, Unit 5, and Carport, compliance September 9th, 2015.
Very good.
I believe
that. All right. Well, those representatives for the city of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings. Please step forward to be sworn.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony about the right? Do you swear or affirm about the truth?
Proceed directly into the agenda. Case number 1, 152 Kingston Avenue, Nicholas and Donna Sekulich. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Actually, I'm the owner of the property now.
Step up here if you want to be heard.
I'm John Scales.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you say your name is John Scales?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's turn it over to our city attorney so you can bring up to speed as to where we are on this, Council.
Good morning, Mr. Kelter. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. We're here on a lien review. This is lien review number 1. I was paying attention, I believe, isn't it? Okay. Which is lien review for the property at 152 Kingston Avenue. The inspector for that property was John Stinson. Mr. Stinson advised us that the property is in compliance for the items that it was in violation of at the time of the fine being imposed, as was indicated by the requester that they were not the ones who were responsible for the violations. They purchased the property and a tax deed sale. The recommendation of the city is a reduction of the lien. The lien had was recorded at a lesser amount than the maximum because the city did acquire some of the excess proceeds from the tax deed sale, but the remaining outstanding lien was still well over $12,000. The city is recommending a reduction to an amount of $2,500.
Just out of curiosity, what is Mr. Scales' standing
here? You have to come to the mic.
I'm asking the lawyer.
Oh. I have no knowledge of it.
No. Oh. A lien review request here by a previous owner. So what's his status? Is it his lien review?
I mean, that's to the nothing but a witness to the status of the case. I guess we received these on the new owner, if they're the owner at the time, because it is something affecting the property that he owns. He is the one that's now encumbered by the lien. So a purchaser or one who acquires the property with the lien would, I would think, would have some standing.
What's the total amount of the lien?
It maxed out to $15,000 plus interest was recorded and recorded. Well, recording cost was $22, so $15,022. We received excess proceeds from his purchase of the property at tax deed sale.
And made the $2,900?
Well, that was, there was more, but there was a portion that was applied towards lot clearance lien first, and then that balance was applied towards the outstanding amount of the lien. There was
So you had a $15,000 lien.
That's correct.
You covered about $2,800.
Yes.
You want another $2,500.
That's correct.
The original property owner, I assume, is long gone. And you have this gentleman who bought the property.
Right. And I'm understanding, you know, as with all of these, they're applied against the owner as well as the property. But
works.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand them now.
Right.
All right. Let's say, Mr. Scales, the city's saying it wants to hang on to its lien to the tune of about $2,500.
Okay, well,
Don't ask for zero.
I'm sorry?
Don't ask for zero.
Okay, well, actually, I would be happy with paying a $2,500 fine.
Wow. Okay, and I will reduce the...
I mean, I maybe not happy, but have no problem with it.
I will reduce the lien to the sum of $2,500 as per the stipulation of the parties. That is subject to being paid within 30 days. If you run short on that time, give it to the city attorney to work with. Is that all we need on this one?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Very good. Good luck to you, Mr. Scales.
Thank you.
Lien review number two, Black Tide USA LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Steven
Newton. Sean Disney.
You raise your right hand. Your right hand, sir. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Sorry, your last name again?
Disney.
Okay, we have a lien in the amount of $2,171.45. Okay.
Yes.
And you requested some relief for that?
Yes.
All right. What's the basis for the relief?
The basis of the relief was that I hired a general contractor to remove the building, and the city and code. Code compliance received that February 2nd, which was a month before this was even done. And it took a while for
say that again. We
pulled a permit to remove the accessory structure February 2nd.
When were you supposed to have it done by?
The finished product, I'm not quite sure, but...
I have an order of compliance that says if the property is not in compliance by February 3, the case will be on the February 6th agenda. Okay, so what happened on February 2nd?
February 2nd, we had the contractor went, got the permit, got everything all approved, and there was a permit in place with the city of Daytona Beach to, you know, and at that point the contractor was supposed to have taken it down. I was back and forth. My mom was passing, so I was going back and forth to New Hampshire.
And compliance in this instance meant what? Removing a temporary structure?
Yeah, it was a shed.
Right. And when was the shed removed?
The shed was removed. I mean, they stated on the thing that was removed the. I don't have that with me. The final review was done, I guess, 21 days after the 3rd.
Well, I have an affidavit of compliance that says it's in compliance as of March 24, 2016.
Okay. March 24th, yes.
All right. Well, that's just when the affidavit of compliance says
right.
It's in compliance.
Right.
Do you know when the structure was removed?
The contractor, I had a general contractor that was supposed to take care of everything. I was, like I said, out of state for a good portion of that time, so I was not able to follow up on that. That's the reason why I got a general contractor, so that it could be taken care of, you know.
Okay. Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, Cliff Reckonzone was the inspector in this case. The permit was finaled on the 24th of March. Prior to that, we had no notification of any compliance. The deadline for compliance was March 3rd. And that's the deadline for compliance is March 3rd. The lien accrued as indicated for the days that resulted in a $2,100, but for 21 days resulting in $2,100 fine. The recommendation of the staff is for no reduction. That's what they're recommending. There were numerous neighbor complaints. Ultimately, this was demoed, but it took work and effort. And it just wasn't a whole lot of cooperation, at least from the perspective of the staff.
Okay. And have you been any discussion with the respondent regarding resolving the amount of lien?
No, there has not been any discussion.
Okay. Mr. Dusney, do you have anything more to propose before I take a stab at something here I consider reasonably fair, given the circumstances, as I understand it?
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, since the city did have a, you know, the permit in place and it was reviewed for code compliance by the city a month before everything was going, and that was available to them, I would have thought they would have been aware of the situation. And that was also, there's a general contractor involved. So we're, you know, you pay the general contractor to go over and get the remove the building, which is what the city wanted. And you know, I explored a couple different things. It wasn't a residential structure. Because it's on a rental property, and it's an accessory structure. I was trying to get shed movers to come down and move it. They determined it was too flimsy to just come pick it up and take it. And with my mom passing, I hired Cranwell Construction to remove it. I was not able to, at that point, since I had a general contractor and there was a permanent place.
All right, that's fine. The amount of the fine is $2,171.45. I'm reducing that to $217.14. That's 10% of the amount of the fine. I'm sensitive to your circumstances. At the same time, you waited to the last minute before you hired your contractor to begin with. You were already on the eve of the end of a compliance date. But in any event, that fine is going to be reduced to 10% of what it is right now, which is $217.14, subject to being paid within 30 days. It's not paid within 30 days, it stays at the amount as it is right now.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
J&J Bryan, Florida, Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Holly Miles.
Do
you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you offer provided is the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. This is a continued case. We're here for the imposition of a fine, so we will hear from the city first.
Mr. Kelter, this is a case where the respondent went for a variance. You may recall, I think last month we had to continue because they weren't able to handle that previously because of circumstances with the variance board. But they went for a variance, that was the month prior, but they went for a variance this month, last month. The variance was approved. The inspector in the case is Tom Cleek. He reports that this should be in compliance by next cutoff, and so we're asking that it be amended to the next cutoff.
If the variance is approved, what?
No, they just have to take, get the permit, and I guess that's not, they don't have the permit at this point.
All right. What do you need to say?
Yes, sir. The permit's in. It should be issued upon his returning out of the country. It should be done before next time.
Right, and we will amend our pending order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by October 5, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you. Case number two, Vinny Enterprises, LLC.
Thank you.
understand. Would you please state your name?
My name is Flora Jordan, and I'm the property manager for Benny Enterprise.
Lori?
L-O-R-I-E. Last name is Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N.
Are you the property manager?
Yes.
Sir?
Stan Holly, architect, and I'm representing the
Enterprise. Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. Kelly, the inspector in this case is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property remains in non-compliance and it's approaching 6 months. The respondent didn't even handle simple matters like cutting the grass, the simple appearance standards. The property is an eyesore. It's on a major corridor of the city, on a major thoroughfare. The inspector is requesting a fine of $450 per day to a maximum of $20,000. And I tender, Mr. Fitzgerald, if you have any factual questions.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so the respondent was first notified of these conditions on March 29th, 2016?
Yes, sir.
All right, looks like a pretty list, pretty lengthy list of violations here.
Yes, sir. They've been doing work on it, but the work they've been doing has no permits attached to it. They were asked to get permits. It's a commercial property. The only permit they've received was a roofing permit that was applied on 3/23/2016, approved on 7/25/2016, and issued 7/28/2016. Yet nothing has been done on the roof with the one permit that they did have. They applied for a door replacement permit. That was issued 3/30/2015. It was approved 3/6/2015, issued 3/6/2015. And has expired with no inspections. With the permits that they've applied for under the review by redevelopment, that they needed to meet with TRT staff, and they did meet with them. An architect attended TRT. No additional communication after that meeting with the owner or the design professionals. So they've just been doing the work without the permits being approved. The stucco permit was applied for 1/21/2015. It expired. It was never approved. Stucco work was done on the building. As you can see, that's what it looked like before. And they've done the stucco work there. No permits were pulled.
All right. And on July, we entered an order giving them until September to commit to compliance. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
At that point, we figured 60 days would be enough time to get compliance.
Yes, sir.
And that's 4 months after you first notified them of it. And it looks to me like maybe we had an owner doing a lot of work himself instead of hiring a contractor to do it.
I don't know that. I don't know who was doing the work.
I'm going to infer that from what I'm saying. This is a commercial property. It would require a contractor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks. Come on up.
Okay. Well, I have an email here on 7/5 where the owner contacted Mr. Fitzgerald with a list of work that needed to be, that work that had been done in response to his email of violations and things that needed to be done. And yeah, the roofing permit is scheduled to start on the 19th of this month.
Okay. Let's not bother me with the history. I think I know enough about it. Let's talk about the future, because I need to hear something really positive.
Right. Well, I have
things
been,
are going to go south real fast.
Right. I have been employed with this company for 2 weeks, and since then I have been to this office more times than I have been out, attended a hearing that I was not supposed to be at. You know, bless his heart, Mr. Stan, I called him the day that I started, and he was on vacation. I've been driving him insane to get this work done and done the right way.
Mr. Holly, what's the plan here?
The plan is to redevelop the property for Indian restaurant, exterior dining, and food court.
So we have been retained to work on it. We have submitted it. We talked to Reed. Reed's very much in favor of this project, and we do have to get a board of adjustment because of lack of parking on any site in the city. And but he likes the project. It's in walking distance of the beach, and I think it'll be a very successful project.
Who's Reed?
Reed, the development director, Reed Berger. Okay. The owners, when they were here back 3 weeks ago, we met with Reed and the TRT. And then we supplied this plan, David, that would Reed actually really likes it. He's told me that 3 times, so I guess he really likes it. So he said he would come here if need to be to speak on our behalf. But we have applied for the minor site plan review, which we're the building stand. We're going to redesign the building, but we have to have time to do that. The site plan stays the same, except we're redesigning the site plan. Okay, it was nothing but a friggin' parking lot and access off of International. So everybody wants it to go away, but I think it's a good solution for a viable project on International. We're taking away the access from International. And just it's basically a carry out and indoor. There's some indoor dining. There's no residents involved. There used to be a residence on the top floor. That's gone. I have to say that your summation is correct because I've been through the building. The owner was working on himself. So, but it's in pretty good shape and painted outside. We got a lot of work to do on it, but
is this building occupied?
It's not occupied.
Okay.
Not
so it
occupied.
Can be secured till all these.
Oh, it's secured.
Can be secured till this wish list comes to fruition.
That's as fast as we can get it in and go, and that's our plan. We just need, to not finding why we're working on it.
Absolutely, and the main issue is that the owner has to not accept it and not let the permanent person.
Who's the permanent person? You're going to be permanent.
Absolutely, hands on completely.
Let's say the city
Mr. Couch, the inspector tells me that he'd like to see something happen there. It's the it's a main corridor, it's East ISB. So we'd love to see a project. He doesn't really have a basis right now without he hadn't heard from Mr. Berger. I think someone went to go get him, but the current position that the staff holds is that it's been too long and we're not sure what's going to happen or if anything's going to happen.
What would be the next step in this process? Just kind of give me a brief timeline as far as where you go going forward, assuming everything goes according to Hoyle, your owner follows through, Ms. Jordan is still with us every step of the way, all that happens.
Okay.
Give me some timeline here.
We have to, TRT, we're already have an application into TRT. We're going to proceed through that with the regular. It's a minor site plan revision. We've paid the fee. We're scheduled as of yesterday because I just got back in town. We're going to be working on it, and we have to get a board of adjustment hearing, which is going to take 60 days. And then, but I would say at the same time, we're going to work on this to get the site plan through TRT and ready to go. Then we get permits and do the work. That's the plan. The roofing work is, they're supposed to start it on in the 19th of September.
And this TRT hearing is when?
Well, that TRT is our task review, but we don't have it scheduled yet because if we get on the agenda, it's still 60 days.
Okay.
The October would be the soonest possible date for that.
Well,
so here's Reed. Maybe he can speak to that. They're talking time frame.
Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name, please.
Reed Berger.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Berger, I've been provided, I guess, what I would call a preliminary site plan.
Yes.
And it's been suggested by a respondent who's presently staring down the barrel of a fine that they're going to do wonderful things out there on this property if we just give them some time. And I'm trying to glean whether there's any merit to that assertion or not, because I'm always for people putting money into their properties rather than paying fines. So that having been said, what's the status of this as you understand it at present?
Well, they've been into our office two times, one for a pre-conference TRT meeting. So that's a technical review team. And so we have met with them, looked at a site plan. We were very, very impressed by what we saw in terms of a solution for that property because it's very narrow, very shallow along East ISB. And we said, get a site plan in and let's get this thing done. And then the second thing that happened was approached me yesterday with an application, submitted it to our office for a site plan, and that's where we are today. Is we have now a site plan. Obviously, they have to act on that and actually follow through to get it done. We don't want this to be languishing for a long time. So I understand the owners are out of the country right now, but we're looking forward to them coming back and starting on this project for approval.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All I
need. I have one question. What's a reasonable timeline for them getting through the TRT and having the approvals necessary to get working on this project?
Well, it's going to take a couple months at the minimum for this to probably go through that process, three on the outside. And in the meantime, I think as long as they're maintaining the property, taking the weeds down or whatever is an appearance issue, we'd like to see them continue to do that while they're going through the process.
Okay. All right, did the city want to say anything more?
Yes, I can have one.
Yeah. With that being said, Mr. Bacalz and the staff is an agreement, I mean, a code staff is in agreement that additional time would probably be a reasonable solution here. Seeing that we're talking at least 3 months where it asks for a lien review, maybe next month, I mean, that don't mean a lien review, a progress report, maybe next month to just see that they're moving forward and everything's happening that ought to happen, and maybe we'll be able to figure out a compliance date for what they will be working on.
All right, that's what I'm going to do.
If I can just make one other point as well, as Mr. Berger pointed out, the need for the outside appearance mainly because of the location. I believe the last month, according to the inspector, we had to do a lot clearance, city services to clean it up. So it would be an important thing for them to maintain the property.
I'm going to continue the imposition of the fine. I'm not going to continue it to a specific date. I'm continuing it indefinitely. for the time being. I'm going to want a progress report at our next meeting because it's my intent to babysit this thing until it's done. And if everything goes according to Hoyle, then we won't be discussing any fines at all. In the interim, I'm going to require that the property not be utilized or occupied other than is necessary for whatever work is underway that you two are spearheading, and that the exterior be maintained to city standards. Okay? So, as long as you keep it nice and clean, as long as you and Mr. Holly continue to make progress, then I'm a happy camper. Okay? If it all goes south and those things don't happen, and we're right back where we are right now, talking about the imposition of the fine. Okay?
Very good. Information.
And by the way, I hope you glean from that. I'm all kinds of excited, and I certainly hope this happens. And more than willing to work with you as long as progress can be. Very good. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Pardon? All right, Gatlin Brothers of Daytona Beach, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald advised us that they've done some work, but they remain in non-compliance. There's quite a number of things that still remain in non-compliance. This has been about 5 months, and Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the it's on the main corridor on US 1. It's very dirty grounds outside, and he's asking for a $400 fine to a maximum of $20,000.
Okay.
And I turn to Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any factual questions.
I do. So, Mr. Fitzgerald, out of this original list of violations, can you quantify for me, if you can, like what percentage of the work's actually been done or not, or however you can describe it best?
Sure.
I'm trying to gauge how much effort we've actually seen.
Everything that, most of the stuff that needed to get done without a permit was done, except for a few items. They painted the exterior of the property. This fence was repaired. They cleaned this up. They repaired this without a permit. This is during the repair. And this is after. They repaired that. Right here, that was rotten wood. They locked this door, which is an exit. Every time I've gone, still locked.
It's a life safety issue, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
That was this morning. This was repaired. The building, this area here, was painted. Oops, sorry. That was this morning. The wooden fence was painted. This was this morning. It's repaired. They were supposed to pull a permit for redoing the holes in the parking lot. They did that without a permit, and it still hasn't been painted or a permit pulled.
You're talking the parking lot?
Yes, sir. The parking lot. All this is new, where the holes were, and they've done part of the work with no permit. I have stopped by numerous times and talked to them about permits. Like I said, the fence was repaired.
Okay, so in addition to the parking lot, what remains to be done?
The parking lot permit, the permit for the broken wall that they repaired with no permit, the emergency lock on the back door, the exit still locked. And getting a dumpster enclosure with a dumpster. They have, let's see, that's the, they have garbage cans on the one side that's surrounded by that fence, but you're not supposed to be able to see them on the major thoroughfare. And so they were supposed to change that out and put the dumpsters behind that wooden fence.
How long should it take them to get the permits that you're lacking?
I'd asked them about 2 months ago for that. They should have already had them.
I understand that. How long should it take them to get them?
Next cutoff.
I'm not giving them the next cutoff. You just told me you got a life safety issue.
The life safety issue wouldn't need a permit, but they should be able to do that in 1 minute.
I understand. Well, in the grand scheme of things, how long would it take them to get the permits?
A week.
Just came down here, did what they needed to do, and got their permits. How long would it take them?
Less than a week.
So between the permits and the life safety issue, if they took care of that, they'd be in compliance for the most part?
The two permits, and they finished the work and finaled out the permits, they would be in compliance.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to strike the parking lot.
All right. I'm going to order the respondent to be in compliance in 10 days. That's September 23, 2016. Failing that, and I'm fining the amount of $400 per day that goes into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of, what is it, $20,000?
Yes, sir.
Whichever occurs first. So if you talk to your respondent, tell him he's got 10 days to get it done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number four, Daisy Smalls Johnson and George Smalls Jr. and Vincent E. Smalls. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. Kelty, this case is before you for a progress report.
Yep.
And a determination of compliance date. You may recall that Ms. Johnson and Mr. Smalls was before you, and they were trying to obtain an eviction. The eviction, they did get the eviction as well as the writ of possession.
Sorry,
I say they did get the eviction, okay. as well as the writ of possession.
When did they have that?
And other than the eviction, we have no knowledge of anything else being done up to this point. The Ms. John Stinson is the inspector, and Mr. Stinson recommends that we give them till next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. I remember Ms. Johnson and Mr. Smalls. There were some of the more entertaining guests we've had. Missing the fact that they're not here today. So, Mr. Stenson, have you heard from them? Is work underway?
No, sir, I have not heard from them. Work has begun.
All right, well, in any event, I guess I'm hearing for the record that the obstacle that was holding them up has now been cured. So with that, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by October 5, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number five, Crystal Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it Nancy?
Jerry Finley.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your name again?
Jerry Finley.
And you're here today to speak on behalf of Ms. Scott?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hit the city.
Mr. McKelcher, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that they're making good progress at this point, and he's requesting that we amend to the next call.
Okay, very good. Same as Finley. The city seems to be somewhat satisfied with the efforts, so much so they're suggesting giving Ms. Scott additional time till October 5th to come into compliance. What say you to that?
I appreciate it.
No problem. All right. We will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 5, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 6, Susan Consum Family Limited Partnership. Okay, folks, if you would please state your names and be sworn.
Susan Hounsom.
Sir?
Peter Ancona.
Raise your right hand, please. You tell me swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first.
Mr. McKelcher, this is the property at 617 Kingston Avenue. You may recall this is a property with a tenant, and there were some landlord-tenant disputes that were, when we were here previously, were pending before for a hearing. And they've since had a hearing and believe that they still have other pending litigation matters regarding the landlord-tenant dispute. And so at this time, they're still in litigation. I would, Mr. Stinson is the inspector. Mr. Stinson has actually testified in the hearing as well. But I would tender Mr. Stinson to give you a factual update in terms of what's happened since and as to the question of whether anything's been done or have they been able to even work out the opportunity to get any work done. Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My this case started in May as a tenant complaint for the conditions of the property. Since then, like Mr. Jackson said, I have been subpoenaed for court for the dispute between the landlord tenant. I've also made multiple inspections on the property. I've conferred with the lawyers, the handymen, the contractors, all of the people that should be involved. It is still in litigation. The work is moving very slowly. We have had to issue stop work orders for work being done without the permits during this process as well. They have recently gotten the permits. This has become a difficult process. However, being that it is still in litigation between the landlord tenant, we are willing to amend to the next cutoff, at least for a progress report.
Okay. Well, you know, when we were here last, we were all going to hold hands and cooperate and make sure that the landlord was able to get onto the property in order to do work. As I recall, the landlord, the only requirement was that the tenant was asking for reasonable notice so that she could cooperate. Has any of that come to fruition?
And there have been issues with that throughout the entire process as well.
Okay.
The tenant's lawyer is involved with the notifications going back and forth, and there still has been issues with that.
All right. Okay, I'm not asking you to take sides, but since it's the landlord that's being called in front of me and it's being suggested that they have failed to do things, are they getting some cooperation from the tenant to enable them to do whatever they need to do, or is the landlord not even making the effort?
I believe that there's resistance on both sides. where the scale tips, I couldn't tell you, but there is resistance on both sides.
All right. And anyway, so your suggestion is to extend the cut, extend it to the next cutoff of the time period.
Yes, sir.
And you're telling me the reason for that is primarily due to friction between the landlord and tenant, ongoing litigation, which culminates in little or no progress.
It is making it difficult. Yes.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Okay. Let's say Ms. Hansen.
I agree that it has been difficult to make progress, but I'd like to go over those items that are there and what we've done. It, we're
why
almost
don't you
finished.
Bring you up to speed as far as what you've accomplished?
That's what I'd like to do.
Already.
Could you go over?
Yes, sir. I am the handyman, and so I'm going from your list here. Damaged or missing screens, they've all been replaced that were damaged. Dilapidated handrails are in the process of being done. We were waiting on a permit, which we didn't get until the 7th anyway. We applied for it about 2 weeks prior, and it took a week to get the contractor out there, and it took him approximately another week to get back to the city with the permits for all the different fields, the plumber, the electrician, and so on. The receptacles have been repaired. Smoke detectors have been replaced, all in compliance. Exterior doors have all been repaired. Interior doors are in process. I was waiting for some parts. Plumbing's been repaired. Stairs are right now, if, I'm sure the pictures will show. If Mr. Stetson was there this morning, he'll see that there is a new back porch that's being installed under permit. Exterior surfaces, I'm assuming he's referring to the decks, the walkways in the front, which the tenant drove over with their car. They've been repaired. We do have a business, we were approved for the business tax receipt, but obviously the residential rental license is based on the inspection, and that's not done yet. I do expect weather permitting to be done by the end of this week. And since I only got the permit last, it was issued last Wednesday, and the tenant has been difficult, did deny me entrance on the 11th of August, and I did try to contact the court about it and Mr. Stetson, and nobody would listen to me. So I have had numerous problems, been verbally abused, profanity. Ms. Hounson was witness to that as well.
How much advance notice are you giving the tenant?
Every time I've given her at least 24, 48 hours.
All I need to hear.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, we're all going to struggle through this eventually. Hopefully there'll be nothing but a bad memory someday. In any event, I'm amending our current order of noncompliance to allow you until October 5, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Okay. So, good luck working your way through it.
Thank you for your patience.
Stay cool. We don't need any.
I'm trying.
We don't need any.
Never raised my voice, never did anything that was disrespectful.
Good luck to you. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, William Berner.
Sir, I'm Homer Phillips, present owner. And I have not applied for transfer of Berner's name to mine.
Your last name is Phillips?
Phillips, Homer Phillips, yes.
Okay. All right.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided
that
you
told the
truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, you aware of Mr. Phillips?
No, sir. I'm not sure what the... What was that, a receipt? Or
that's a receipt.
This looks like a receipt for recording corrective quitclaim deed, but it's from the Volusia County Clerk of the Court?
Yes.
Do you have a copy of that deed?
I have a copy, yes, ma'am. I don't have the...
this is dated the original. December 8th.
Yeah, they have the original.
Right. Do you...
That's a copy. Pardon? Yeah, that's just a copy of the original. And that's where he's... sir, I made that request on Thursday of last week, and they told me that they should have it back by Friday, and so far they haven't returned it.
Okay, who are they?
They being the county government.
Okay, and they're returning what?
The acknowledgement that it was recorded, and I can't get the final inspection until I have it in my name. And,
all right. So, Mr. Jackson, here, Mr. Phillips has taken title of the property.
Well, this doesn't indicate that, Mr. McCullough, and I'll provide this with you. I'm not saying he's not taking title, but that document doesn't indicate that.
The one I gave to her was the original, and I may have given you the wrong one there.
This is from you too, Mr. Berner.
Okay, well, then I don't have. I thought I had it, sir.
So
I did give to the court or to the county government a request, and they acknowledged that they had that I had applied for it. So I'm I'm not sure why it's taken so long. There's a possibility that I had that there was a non-compliance fine from when work was done, and I'd like to get that reduced if I may, sir.
Okay, let's stop. Let's stop and back up here. Okay, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Berner is supposed to be here, and it looks as though we're here to determine whether there's compliance or non-compliance.
That's correct, sir. And I guess I was asking, and perhaps Ms. Hampton can help us with this as far as the question of whether or not Mr. Berner has been noticed.
He has been noticed, yes, as the current
the owner of record.
I believe Mr. Phillips was here last time with the deed and said he was going to go record it.
Yes.
But that evidently did not happen until September 8th.
Yeah, I had to go back for minor surgery to Chattanooga.
Are you aware that these violations existed or occurred?
Yes, sir, I am.
Then I'm finding the respondent in noncompliance. You're telling me you now own the property?
Yes, sir.
Are you planning on bringing this into compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you prepared to be joined in this proceeding with Mr. Berner for the purpose of coming into compliance?
Yes, sir.
All right. So Mr. Phillips is agreeing to be joined as a co-respondent. Is that good enough for you, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir, that is.
All right. Now, Mr. Phillips, how much time do you think it would take for you to come into compliance on this
matter? Sir, as soon as that approval of the transfer is done, it will be done immediately.
Okay. All right. I'm assuming you're talking about the return of your recorded deed.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're telling me as soon as you have that, then you should be able to, okay, all that aside, looking at these violations, how long do you think it would physically take you to do them?
Half a day.
Okay, good enough. That's all I need.
Yes, sir.
So do you? So then it sounds as though there should be no reason why it couldn't be completed by October 5th.
I would presume that I would get the notification back that it had been approved. Then I have to go down and request that the inspector come out.
Yes, sir. All right. Okay. Have you previously met Mr. Rackenzone?
No, I've got inspector. No, sir. I've got a man that maintains the property here for me, and he mows the yard and tends the property.
This is the gentleman you'll be dealing
with. Yes, sir. I've met him the last time. It's the only time, sir.
Okay. All right. Based on the testimony presented, I find the respondent in noncompliance, and I'm ordering the respondent to commit to compliance now by October 5, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I've introduced you to your inspector.
Yes, sir.
Keep him happy. Everyone's happy.
I just need your contact information as well.
For me?
Yes.
Okay, it's Homer Phillips. 18837 River Canyon Road, Chattanooga, Tennessee. 37405. Phone number is 423-505-6683.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks, sir.
And please make sure this gets taken care of while you,
sir,
whether you're here or up in Chattanooga.
Well, I'm not going to go back. I'm supposed to be at the doctor Friday, but I'm going to stay until I get this dog out of my bed.
Good luck to you.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, case number 9, AVS Investments, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? I was here for the imposition of a fine. Let's say the city.
Mr. McCalder, the inspector in this case is Mr. Reckonzone. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance. However, they are making progress. At last meeting, it was reported that a tenant was evicted and they were working on the repairs. Mr. Reckonzone is asking that you amend to the next cutoff so that they can continue working on compliance.
All right. Based on our attorney's presentation, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 5, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Next case. Love Tabernacle Kojic Incorporated, care of Richard Buss, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, sir. Can you please state your name?
My name is Edward Butts, sir. I'm here on behalf of the Love Tabernacle.
Do you
swear
or affirm
that
the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mm-hmm. And what is your affiliation with Love Tabernacle Kojic Incorporated?
I am the I'm a volunteer, and my brother is the trustee, and he's unable to make it today. I'm familiar with everything. My mother's having surgery in New Jersey, and he had to be there.
My only question is, are you authorized to speak here on their behalf?
Absolutely.
Mr. Jackson, you satisfied?
I'm satisfied.
Okay. Mr. Buss, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir. All except for the one with that he needed a license for occupancy.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, let me switch to the city here for a second. How much time should it take to come into compliance?
The inspector recommends the next cutoff, Mr. McKelzer.
All right. The city's inspector seems to think you ought to be able to take care of these matters by October 5th. What say you to that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by October 5, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. This is your inspector. Be sure to stay in touch with him, and most importantly, call for your final inspection. Once a notice of compliance is filed before October 5th, then it's done.
Okay. Thank you very
good
much.
Good luck to you. Case number 11, Hampfloor Holdings, LLC. Good morning.
Sorry, you're going to have to keep
speaking. Hamid Tutunchian.
Can you spell that for me, please?
H-A-M-I-D is the first name. Last name. T-O-U-T-O-U-N-C-H-I-A-N.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you tell me, swear or affirm, that the testimony
you're about
to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, sir. What is your affiliation with Hampfloor Holdings, LLC?
I'm the property manager for the owner.
Very good. You agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, sir.
Okay. Did any of them exist as stated?
Yes.
Some of them did?
Yes.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Now, let's switch over here. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take the respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. McCouch, the inspector reports that this arose from tenant complaints. He's asking for next cutoff for the property being in compliance. I don't know if he had, John Stinson is the inspector. I don't know if he had anything else he needed to share, but I tend to Mr. Stinson if he does.
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. Mr. Jackson's correct. This started as a tenant complaint. The tenant is no longer there. However, there are still quite a few issues that need to be corrected and redone on the property before it's brought into compliance. There's actually a pretty big issue with the foundation that they're going to wind up having to deal with. Actually, what started this is that the foundation is cracked from the front of the property to the back. It's literally split. And so everything that's on that foundation is now damaged. Electrical, the roof is now leaking. So all of these things do have to be addressed. And he is basically just getting started. So this is, I would say, if he gets a contractor in gear, he can get this done by the next cutoff. If he actually gets
just
it done.
The foundation split from the front to the back.
That's correct.
That doesn't sound like a quick fix.
However, during my last reinspection of the property, they had replaced the flooring inside the house, but they hadn't actually replaced, or rather repaired, the crack in the foundation. So now this new flooring is buckling as well. As the pictures scroll, you'll see there's a photograph with the crack, and there's an illustration of how deep and wide it is. So they have a lot to be done.
So is this repairable?
It is repairable. It is repairable.
How do you fix a cracked foundation?
That answer I do not have.
I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about a cracked foundation at some point. Someone's going to be talking about a structural engineer.
That is correct. And the handyman on the property was advised of this prior to redoing the interior floor or whatever, and they decided that didn't happen.
Okay. Is the splitting of the foundation a life safety hazard?
No, sir.
Something that the city's going to require some sort of a structural engineer to certify as far as its stability?
I do not know what permission licensing is going to require, but I think that's a safe assumption.
So in any event, the city's suggesting this could be done by October 5th.
Yes, sir.
10-4. All right. Yes, sir. Got a pretty grim report here from the inspector about the health of your house. There's the crack in the foundation, I guess he's talking about. The city has suggested that you ought to be able to have this fixed by October 5, 2016. What say you to that?
I just wanted to go over the items that he had in his list.
Okay, well, I'm kind of curious about the crack foundation. What's
I have a letter from a general contractor that inspected that crack and said there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's, and I have also a home inspection report. That was done yesterday, sir.
Floating slab and non-load bearing, the crack is not a structural issue. My professional opinion, the repair that was made should be an adequate solution. All right. Okay, let's go back to how much time should it take you to come into compliance? He says by October 5th. What say you to that?
His item says to me it's fixed, and it says in the letter that...
Well, that says you fixed the crack in the foundation. As far as the other items that have to be done, how much time is it going to take you to complete them?
They're all done except the broken window that he wants us to replace it. One panel of a double insulated glass, which we've already ordered it, and it will be here this week. So that's the only thing that is not done in the list.
All right, so then all you need to do is get the glass fixed and call him out for inspection. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, he is not agreeing. Like this crack is one example. He tells me I don't have, for example, in his list, it says I don't have a lack of business tax receipt. We've had that since 2013, sir. I don't know why he should put that on a report to make us look bad. 2013, we've had that every year. So why would that even be on his list?
Don't know. All I care about is whether or not it's in compliance, and you're telling me that item is already taken care of and has been for
everything,
some time.
Everything, he passed all the electrical. The damaged roof is a brand new roof, but he thinks I'm a liar, so I brought the permit from the city that we put the brand new roof on the house. I spent money on the home inspection that said the roof, there's nothing wrong with it, there's no leak. He only believed the tenant that told him the old stain from the old roof was there, so he thinks the roof leaks. But, you know, this is a brand new roof there. And the permits are there. Everything is in there. I don't know why he would put that on the list and why he thinks I'm a liar that I told him, you know, everything is there and everything. You tell me why he should put that on the report.
All right. Well, why don't we do it this way?
You
finish up what's left to be done.
Just the broken windows there. But he's not in agreement with that.
You fix what's left to be done. Call for an inspection. Make sure it's done by October 5th.
Okay.
If the city wants to bring you down here to claim that you haven't done these things, then I'll be sitting here going through all that stuff.
You'll be showing me
where they're wrong.
I know he loves to take pictures and he likes to treat people like dirt. That's what he's done to me, to my assistant, to my inspector. He comes on his own time, just he pick on that one house, you know. And you should see the houses around the neighborhood. I don't see the next door. There's not one piece of glass on the houses next door is prostitution house, drug, and he doesn't pick on that. He just picks on our house, which is the nicest home in the block, by far.
Well, I'm sure he'll get to all of them.
Okay.
All right. Right now, you come into compliance by October 5th.
Sure. Thank you.
Or be returned to the special magistrate. That would be me for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day. We don't want that.
I hope you come and look at
the
home,
And if the inspector is dissatisfied with your efforts, then you show me otherwise.
That's fine. I'll have my attorney.
We'll certainly take that into consideration before we think about fining anybody.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 12, Craig D. Conway.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Craig Conway.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, Mr. Conway, are we in agreement that these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
I find the respondent in non-compliance. Let me ask the city how much time they think it should take to come into compliance, and then I'll ask you the same.
Mr. Kelly, the The inspector, John Stinson, reports that it's a tenant complaint. He's asking that it be in compliance by next cutoff. He believes that that's reasonable time. Permits for an electrical permit was pulled on September 6th.
Mr. Conway, the city seems to think this should all be done by October 5th. What say you?
Okay. Well, I've hired a general contractor to oversee everything. And there's also been electrical permit pulled, plumbing. So all the permits are pulled. They've done the electrical. There's also mention of some tenting required here on this home because of some rot. So I'm concerned that with that, I'll need some time to do all the work and do the tenting. I had a delay because the tenant was refusing access to the contractors. It delayed the starting of this.
Okay.
So we're now going, we're now starting because the tenant's gone. It took a while to get him out of there so we could start work.
Well, how much time do you think you'll need?
With all this, probably 90 days.
Is the property presently occupied?
No, it's empty now.
You're going to keep it empty until all this work is done?
Absolutely.
All right. I can be more accommodating with regard to the time as long as the property is not occupied.
No, it's not.
And the exterior is not is maintained so it doesn't turn into an eyesore for the neighbors.
It's maintained.
You're good with all that?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Then I will allow the respondent until December 7, 2016 to come into compliance. That's roughly 90 days. With
okay.
the on the condition that the property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until it's in compliance, and that the exterior be maintained. Failing that, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. You all good?
Yes.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Nicole A. Salamine. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Kelty, this property is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. And Mr. Klieg reports that the property is in non-compliance and he's requesting that they come into compliance by next cutoff. Mr. Klieg also indicates that there are individuals in the audience that wanted to speak to this case as witnesses. I have not talked with any of them. I'm not sure who.
Let me speak to Mr. Klieg first. I want to make sure I understand the nature of the violation. The property is zoned RP. What's RP mean?
Residential. It's supposed to be in the compliance is the T2 district it needs to be in, which is a tourist district. And they're not in the tourist district in that section of town.
Okay. Short-term rentals known as other accommodations in quotes. What does that mean?
They're doing short-term rentals on your bed and breakfast site that... they're renting by the day, week, or month, whatever they decide.
Not permitted in the residential zone.
Right. 6 months or longer, they need a permit. I mean, a license.
Mr. Kelly, if I could just further clarify, the zoning designation is for the T2 zone for that type of activity, and they're not in the T2 zone, and that's what that reference is identified as other accommodations. It's identified as other accommodations in the use designation.
So this other accommodations would have to take place in the P2 zone.
Correct.
Very good. Okay. And did anyone else want to be heard on this?
Good morning.
Hi. John McGinnis for the condominium.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Which condominium are we talking about?
Cobblestone Village. That's where the Ms. Solomon's unit is located.
All right.
And the city, of course, does not permit short-term rentals. The condominium documents provide a minimum six-month rental. And as you know, it's where townhouses is built around a quadrangle, and three-quarters of us live there full-time year-round. So any change in people moving in, we interview people that are renting or people that are buying, so we know our neighbors. And suddenly in mid-June, we saw groups of people arriving for a one-night stay, two-night stay, cars pulling in, suitcases coming out. We notified Ms. Solomon immediately, our management office, that this was not permitted under the condo documents, and we also notified her that it was not permitted under the city codes. Short-term rentals are not permitted in our particular zoning district. She did not respond immediately. Week went by. She responded. She said she thought it was okay, but she had tenants that were short-term renters that were scheduled to come in, and would we give her an accommodation? So we said, we cannot give you an accommodation, because if we permit short-term rentals, it's as if there is no rule in the condominium. So we said, cease and desist. It went on for another week. The condo notified her that she would be at a hearing at the condominium grievance committee, violating the condo documents and rules and regulations. That committee hearing was held September 1st. We have our notice things for that. She did not appear for that. The grievance committee found that she had violated the rules, and they imposed what is really your equivalent of a will fine. And if it happens again, the condominium will fine her $100 a night. But at the same time, we're looking for a resolution from the city saying, yes, she did violate the short-term rental requirements of the city codes. So that's where we stand now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else want to be heard?
No, sir, that's it.
All right, what's the relief the city is looking for? Well, first off, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. What's the relief the city is looking for?
Compliance by next call.
Okay, so compliance by the next cutoff. Is she not in compliance now?
If you can, I sent to Mr. Rock.
A situation in which I'm finding that she's now in compliance, but I'm alerting her that for every future violation, she'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Mr. McKelvey, what's being reported?
I'm not allowed to do that, though.
Right. Well, your finding of non-compliance actually does it already, because once there is the finding of non-compliance, what it establishes that any future violations would be a repeat violation. What the inspector reports is that she's not in compliance right now because she still has advertising on Airbnb, advertising at this condo.
Okay, very good. All right, then I will allow the respondent until October 5, 2016. To come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.